to Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. This is your boy Elder Lewis Gray coming to you again on another Tuesday with a word from the Lord. We thank God for you, you, and you. And I want to say thank you for joining me here today with another word from the Lord. I hope that you had a wonderful week in between the last time that you heard my voice. And I know that God has blessed you if you're here today. Because everything that hath breath is blessed. Amen. And so as I say every Tuesday, if you have breath in your body, you owe God a praise. Because, you know, there's no other alternative other than really the grave. Amen. And so if you have breath in your body, amen, you're blessed. Doesn't matter whether you're sick, doesn't matter what your situations are in life that you're facing at the moment, you've got to understand that it could always be worse. Amen. And so we thank God to be in the land of the living, having breath in our bodies. Hallelujah. And so let everything out there within the sound of my voice that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And so I want to also send our condolences out again to the family of Bishop Oliver Jenkins. Jenkins, we attended his funeral on this past Saturday, and our hearts and our sympathies go out to his family, Evangelist Geraldine Jenkins, and his children and grandchildren and that whole family. Amen. And we want to send our condolences out to you, and may the Lord be with you. Many times when I was, I would do Facebook, and again, I want to get back to doing that as well, and I have my reasons for not doing that at the moment, amen, but I'm going to, Lord willing, get back on Facebook. But a lot of times when I was on Facebook, he would be on listening to me, and he would comment, and he would say how much he enjoyed the word. And so again, I never got to know him personally, amen, as far as speaking to him or you know, seeing him personally, but I was always able to communicate with him through Facebook. And so I thank God that he was able to hear what God had placed in my heart, and I thank God that hope that he was edified by what I had to say through the Lord. Amen. So our condolences go out to him and his family. And so we will be praying for you. And may God's love and his mercy comfort you guys. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I send a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Barbara Kimbrough. Praise the Lord to you. And as always, I love you. To her husband, President Charlie Kimbrough, I love you as well. They are our spiritual parents, and we love them. Sending a shout out to my beautiful wife, Minister Frieda Gray, who is on the job. I want you to know that I love you as well, as always. Amen. And so we thank God for you, you, and you joining us here, joining me today. Amen. Whether you're in your house, whether you're in your car, wherever you might be, on a boat. Amen. Don't touch that dial, because you're here by divine appointment. It's not by accident. God has something to say to you today. Amen. And harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Amen. But in the day that you hear the Lord, amen, respond to his word. Amen. And so we thank God for you, you, and you. And without all of getting that out the way, let us get ready to go into the word of the Lord today. Amen. And it can be found in a very familiar passage of scripture. Amen. And that is Matthew chapter 18. And I am going to read, let's see here, verses 21 and 22, just two verses. Amen. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. And it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, unto seven times, but unto 70 times seven." Dear gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us to gather here today again. Lord, use me as a vessel to speak what you would have me to speak. Well, Lord, you said in your word that your word would not return void. It would accomplish that for which it were sent. And I'm praying today, God, that you bless the hearers of the word today, that what you have to say will fall on good ground. It will grow. It will make them stronger, wiser, and better. God, remember those that are in leadership, our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court, our governors, our presidents, our pastor, our leaders, God. We're just praying, Father, you bless them in this hour to give them what it is you would have to say unto your people in this hour. Remember the backslider, those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies, in the hospital, the jail cells. Touch them, God, as only you know how. And in Jesus' name, use me, Lord, for I am a vessel to be used by you, and without you, I can do nothing. And I am totally dependent upon you today. As always, I decrease so that you will increase, and you alone will get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And then I want to give a shout out to my pastor, who spoke a powerful word on this past Sunday. And she talked about no charge. How Jesus died on the cross, and yet he placed no charge on us. No man took his life, but he gave his life as a ransom. He redeemed us from eternal damnation. In essence, we owed a debt we could not pay. And he paid a debt that he did not owe. He paid it all on Calvary's cross. The debt of our sin was so huge, we could not repay him, even if we spent the rest of our lives trying to repay him. But he died on Calvary's cross. He laid in a grave, in a tomb, for 3 days. He rose, but yet he died for us. And through that, he forgave us of all of our debts. Hallelujah. We faced a great punishment. We faced eternal hell. Hallelujah. We faced being separated from God for all of eternity. Death simply means really to be separated. Separated from a loving God. But yet he forgave us of our debts and our sins. And I begin to think about that sermon, and I thought about Adam and Eve. And I thought about how God had instructed them. He placed man in the middle of the garden, and he told Adam to tend to the garden. And you know what? He was free to eat anything he wanted to, with the exception of one tree. And look what Genesis 2:15 and 16 says. And it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know the story, that how Adam and Eve ate of that tree. And can we get something straight real quick? Because there is a misconception that Adam ate of an apple. The Bible does not say that he ate of an apple. The Bible tells us that of every tree he was free to eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Doesn't tell us what type of tree it was. Doesn't tell us that it was, it doesn't tell us what type of fruits was on there. But many people have gone about saying it was an apple, and they put these conspiracy theories that the apple means this and means that. The Bible lets us know that my people are destroyed. They perish for a lack of knowledge. See, you've got to know what the scripture says. And you know what else I found out? That the tree of life was in the garden too. But isn't that like man to always choose the opposite? Choose the thing that they're not supposed to choose? They could have ate of the tree of life, but they chose to eat of the one tree that God told them not to eat of. So let's just get that straight. The Bible doesn't say that the tree he ate of was an apple tree. But somewhere along the line that has gotten out there and it's become the thing to believe that they ate of an apple. But it doesn't say that. Could have been a pear. Could have been a fig. It could have been any fruit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But it does not say that it was an apple. So where the Bible is silent, we have to be silent. And where it speaks, we have to speak. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they ate of that tree. And when they ate of that tree, they didn't die that day as far as naturally, but they died spiritually, because they were no longer they no longer had the right spirit that God had placed in them. That spirit was to do God's will. But when they chose to do opposite of what God did, amen, they were in a wrong spirit. So therefore, they were not in the place in which God had placed them. That's why when God came looking for Adam, God knew where he was physically all the time, and he knew where he was spiritually. But Adam needed to know where he was. He needed to know that he was not in right fellowship with God. God knew where Adam was. Hallelujah. Adam, where art thou? See, sometimes we have to realize where we are in God. And sometimes God needs us to, we need to recognize that we're not in the right place with God. And so the question becomes, amen, are you in the right place? Are you forgiving people the way that they should be forgiven, in spite of what they've done to you? Hallelujah. Many people are going to perish because, one, they have not repented of their sin, and second, they have not forgiven people. See, you've got to learn to forgive people in spite of what they've done. Now, I'm not talking about if they've committed any crimes against you or, you know, done anything like that. Yes, you report them to the authorities and so on and so forth. But there are people today that are holding grudges against people for something that they did years ago. They didn't pay me back my money. They didn't. We have children who hate their mothers and fathers because they may have been absent in their lives growing up. And so when that father, that mother dies, I'm not going to that funeral. They were never in my life. They never did anything for me. But the Bible says that you're to honor thy father and mother. It didn't tell us what type of mother or father they would be. but it simply says to honor them. But many times people hold it in their hearts. They won't forgive. They won't let it go. And look what Peter says. Peter wanted to know, because he was taught by the traditions of Pharisees and different people back then that maybe you should only forgive three times. And so Peter, he wanted to know. He came to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? See, Peter, like some of us, I'll forgive you so many times. But then after a while, I can't forgive you anymore. But look what Jesus' response was. He says, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What are you saying, Jesus? Jesus saying that I want you to forgive them as many times as necessary. And you know what? This also let me know it doesn't matter what they've done to you. No, it does not forgive or make okay what a person has done to you. You may never forget it, that a person could do you in such a way. I've had things that have happened in my life. Bless the name of Jesus. Things that happened to me that I never thought would happen. I had something so personal a few years back regarding my mother that people did to me that I never thought was possible. But you know what? I learned to forgive. Because what forgives mean is that doesn't mean that to excuse what they've done. But what it does mean is that I won't act on it. I won't retaliate. I won't talk against them. I won't take actions into my own hands. But yet I leave it in the hand of a God that will do right. Forgiving means that I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to forgive. That's why Jesus, he says in the Lord's Prayer, hallelujah. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our debts. See, we want God to forgive us of our debts. And you know what? Paul says that I die daily. Paul says that in essence, I have to keep this body under subjection every day because it's prone to sin. You know, you said you're going to do something and you forgot to do it. You had every intention of doing it, but for some reason, you didn't get around to doing it. There's some thoughts that maybe you shouldn't have thought, but you ask the Lord for forgiveness. The long as we're in this body, we're subject to mess up. And if we begin to count our sins, now I'm not talking about before you received Christ. Just look at some things you've done since you received Christ. You can't even count them. But yet the Lord forgives us. Forgives. You know what? Before I run out of time, Peter, Jesus went to give him a parable, if you will. He wanted to break it down to where they can understand it. Because sometimes, you know, Jesus, you know, we want an answer to something, and then people respond in such a way that you think, what was that? See, God is not interested in how well you can surmise things, how well you can eloquently put it. God wants us to be able to understand it in a natural sense. So sometimes he would use natural principles to relay spiritual truths. So he broke it down into a way they can understand. And he talks about
a king that had a servant. And the servant owed him 10,000 talents. In today's money, that would be millions of dollars. And for as much as he had not to pay. See, when you owed somebody back then, it was serious. And when you couldn't pay, it was serious. Just like I'm trying to tell somebody that when Christ died on the cross, it was serious. It ain't a story that people just tell. It is serious. When Christ died on the cross for you and yours and my sin, it was serious because we were destined for hell. But when they owed a debt back then, it was serious. So much to the point that if they could not pay, they could be sold. Their children, their wives, and they themselves placed in prison, meaning the person who owed it. And the servant came, the king ordered them, I want this to be sold, and I want you to be thrown in prison because you owe me this. See, they would use accounting. They would look through the king's logs and see who owed them something, owed the king something. And it was found that this servant owed the king 10,000 talents, but he could not pay it. He didn't have no $1 million. He couldn't pay it. And he fell down and worshiped him and saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay everything that I owe. But the king knew there was no way he could pay him back. But what did he do? Like Pastor said, I wiped the slate clean and no charge. My God. He realized that there was no way he's going to pay me back. He can't. Hallelujah. But immediately upon relieving his servant upon the debt that he owed the king, the servant had a fellow servant that owed him a debt. And he only owed him 100 pence. Something that they wouldn't take him any time to pay off. But he immediately leaves the king. And he goes and he finds this servant. And he lays hands on him. Took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down just as he did before the king. He fell at the servant's feet, saying that, have patience with me, and I will pay you all that I have. But you know what? He didn't forgive him. And he would not. He went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when the king gets news of this, he was upset. You mean to tell me that I forgave the servant, and then he turns around and goes and puts his hands on another servant who owed him less? My God. Bring him to me. Hallelujah. And he says, didn't I have pity on you? And didn't you deserve to be put in prison? I'm just paraphrasing. And you didn't show the same mercy on somebody else that owed you something? My God. And he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that he owed him. See, God is saying that what people do to us and what people owe us is less than what we owe God. And God forgave us. Then we too ought to forgive others. See, there's nothing that people can do to you that can compare to what Christ did for us. People, whether they lie on you, they talk about you, they owe you money, it don't matter. I owed a debt that I could not pay, and God forgave me. God is speaking to somebody today. Forgive. Don't go to your grave with grudge, anger in your heart because of what somebody did to you. Forgive them. Say, Lord, I place them in your hands. The Lord said, I will repay. Vengeance is mine. Long as we do what we're supposed to do, it doesn't matter what they do. Said before, you come to me. You bring me an altar. Leave your gift at the altar and go make good with your brother. Hallelujah. Are you forgiving today? Hallelujah. Are you in the place that you should be? A place of where you're holding no grudges? Hallelujah. Are you in that place today? Or is there still resentment in your heart? Are you still angry about what somebody done to you? They didn't pay me my money. You see, God's not concerned about your excuses. All excuses have been nailed to the cross. We can say, but you don't know what they did to me, Lord. You don't know how they treated me. Well, how did they treat Jesus? He had done no wrong. But he allowed them to treat him that way because of us. He had no sins. Those sins he died for on Calvary's cross, those were our sins. And he charged us nothing. Wipe the slate clean. Say, Lord, I forgive them. They lied on me. They talked about me. They ran me down. They misused me. They abused me. But the Lord said, bless them that curse you. Pray for your enemies. Forgive. You won't make it to heaven unless you forgive. Let it go. When you forgive people, you feel better. Your blood pressure's down. Hallelujah. You're no longer stressed. You know, the people that you hold grudges against, they forgot about it. They may never come to you and say, I'm sorry. Meaning that they've forgotten about it. But God hasn't. It's up to you to forgive them and forget about it and place it in God's hand. Don't worry. In due season, God will repay. Hallelujah. So again, I'm out of time, but not out of word. Join me again on next week, same time, same channel. Remember to forgive, forget, and let go. In Jesus' name, you be blessed.
We here at True Pentecostal Community Church invite you out to our services, which are as follows. On Sunday morning, our Sunday school services begin at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning services begin at 11:40. And due to the COVID-19, our weekday services begin at 6 p.m., which our Bible studies are on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And our youth services are on Thursdays at 6 p.m. as well. And we trust that you'll come out and have a high time and worship the Lord with us. Our church is located at 16 South Wilson here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida. You be blessed throughout the week.
I remember when the quiet seemed.